So, Mayor Jacobs, having witnessed the two-month session, how did what happened in Tallahassee affect those in Broward County?
Well, you know, there we stopped some bad bills from happening. Actually, I think we spent more time stopping bad bills from happening. But I think the most remarkable thing about this legislative session was the demeanor and the reduction in partisanship, which, being from Broward, the Democratic bastion of the state, as it were, was quite pleasing and a relief to see the Senate and House behave in such a more professional manner, and actually in the Senate allow some of our Democratic members to sit on committees. So I think that we had a better voice up there this year. It seemed to be much more balanced and a lot less partisan.
There's an expression that if Miami-Dade, Broward, or Palm Beach County were on fire and the Florida legislature had to vote to get fire rescue there to put water on it, to put it out, that they would say no. I guess there's always that that feeling that the Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach, and in your county, Broward, get short shrift in Tallahassee. You did not feel that much that this year?
Well, I wouldn't say that we always feel the love coming out of Tallahassee, but I would say that when it came to certain bills that affected us greatly, wage theft was one of those that Miami-Dade and Broward were carved out of because we've already had those programs in place. Living wage was another one that came up that had ridiculous consequences for Miami-Dade and Broward. Miami-Dade's living wage ordinance, 14 years long, Broward's 11 years long. No issues with it. The bill and the concern about what was happening in Orlando did not affect the language in the bill and in the ordinances here in Broward County. And ultimately, those bills were the living wage was changed to mirror more of what we're doing here, and doesn't affect us. So it passed, but in a completely different way. So we were held harmless. Very good news. And wage theft, while we were carved out of it, it never actually saw the light of day. It died. I'm sure it'll be back next year, and we'll have to work equally hard to tell our story. But I think that we did fare well, not just on those issues, things that we already had in place, but we did well with Everglades funding, some of the issues for Florida, Florida Forever funds that were set aside, as well as dollars for ports, so, and even beach renourishment. So it wasn't all bad.
One thing, and I think maybe this was the theme of the legislative session for some, was what didn't get done. The Medicaid didn't get done. And another thing that wasn't even discussed during the session was something that we've had conversations on a lot in the past year, is the issue of climate change and sea level rise. And basically, Mayor, what was said was, now it's not up to the state to deal with these problems. It's up to the local governments, Broward County and cities, to have to deal with the impacts of sea level rise and climate change. What did you think of that?
Well, I think it's how we got started in the first place, was really realizing that the real grown-ups in the room were county governments, and that when Miami-Dade, Broward, Palm Beach, and Monroe pulled together in a formal compact and started to speak with one voice, measure our science, work with NOAA and USGS and our other federal partners, because we were one voice, we started to get that attention. We have received from the state a lot of the, resources that we might need, even if they weren't financial in nature, but as far as being able to use some of the state expertise, those things have come to us. So I'm not so concerned that they're not addressing it, because we are blowing far beyond any counties in the country right now. We are certainly being considered as a model on even most recently by New York and New Jersey, calling Broward and the other three counties up to say, how did you do what you're doing? How did you do it across partisan lines? How did you do it across the jurisdictional lines? And what lessons can we take from South Florida? So I'm not so worried about what the state is waking up to or not waking up to. I'm certain that these issues are going to continue to evolve. And as we learn more about what's happening and the real lessons that are happening every day here in South Florida are learned by the state, A1A would be a great example of the cost to the state when it fell into the ocean during Hurricane Sandy. We know that they will begin to pay more attention in times to come. Right now, we're pretty much doing okay.
Well, they're going to pay attention, but they're not necessarily going to open up their checkbook and say, hey, we're going to help out with Broward County's problem, Fort Lauderdale's problem, Hollywood's problem. I mean, they're saying it's up to you to fund this, to make sure that these improvements get made?
Well, here's one of the things that we were able to get through the legislature. This was 2 years ago, and that was language that identified adaptation action areas, those areas of the state that are vulnerable. So the state did change state law to set that designation, and what it does is basically inform the use of their dollars and sort of prioritize where they should be used according to where the areas of vulnerability are. So, of course, we've been very busy ascertaining what those areas are so that we can provide that information to the state. There are other areas of the state that perhaps are not that far along in those assertions. And so I believe at some point when these things start to happen to us, because, again, we have somewhat the luxury of time through local government and planning. Broward County just included climate change and sea level rise projections into our land development code, which means that any business that's coming in to any developer to build anything, any new sewer line that's going in, any sort of development is all going to have to look at these projections and accommodate them. So as we continue to grow into the future, we're doing it smart. The idea is that we won't have to be rescued so much by the state in the future if we do our good planning now.
You have taken the lead on planning for a future that includes climate change and sea level rise. We've spoken about this on many different occasions, and especially since Superstorm Sandy and its impacts. Can you give us an update on what's been done since? And I guess you can start, we could talk about the A1A project in Fort Lauderdale, but just generally, what progress has been made since this became a prescient issue?
Well, I think as relates to A1A, there were some decisions made about the way that the roadway was set up. It was before the storm, it was four lanes. It's being rebuilt for that section at three lanes. There is some hardening that is going along the shoreline there. I think one of the most important takeaways, though, and this was echoed at the meetings recently up in New York with the Army Corps that I attended, and that was that, gee, isn't it interesting that when you have dunes and marshes along your coastline, those areas don't seem to get damaged as much. And so the idea that we're going to be putting back and restoring our beaches through beach renourishment projects, all of those projects must include either sand dune areas or outside of the state of Florida and other parts of Florida, as the Army Corps is recognizing, marshes that need to be created. Now, ironically, at the same meeting, the Corps recognized that this is the savior of our coastlines, and they are not going to be funding it anymore. In fact, they have about $160 million nationwide for all of our coastlines, which is incredibly short-sighted. So I think the next challenges for the county and those that we're engaging in right now through the Coastal Oceans Task Force, which I chair, which is a collaboration of Miami-Dade, Broward, Palm Beach, and Martin County to look at our coastlines collectively and to try to understand what we need to do to be more resilient. And that means we need to start finding new sources of sand and beach renourishment. While some say, yeah, that sand's going to be applied and just wash away with the next storm, it is actually the thing that saves us from the impacts of storm by creating those areas with dunes. We know that for every dollar we spend in beach renourishment projects, we get about $8 back into the economy. So they are financially worth it, and in the future, they're worth it by the amount of damage that they can stem off.
And, of course, you're going to have some resistance from folks along the beach, perhaps businesses and hotels who don't want their views blocked by sand dunes.
Yes. Unfortunately, there are those who still think about themselves and what they need for right now, and they're not so concerned about the future. And that's not government's role. Government's role is to plan and look forward, because when A1A falls into the ocean and when they no longer have a beach, they don't care about what they said in the past. They want you there fixing it now. So they don't care what party you're from either. They want a fix that goes across all of these issues. And so we know that when we start rebuilding these projects in the future, dunes are going to be, and dune creation is going to be a part of it. And ironically, the one stretch of Fort Lauderdale Beach that did fall into the sea was that section that had no dune.
And a couple of final things. I wanted to ask you about the ever-present project at the airport, which we've all dealt with and driven through, the building of the new runway. Of course, Broward County runs the airport. Talk about that project and how it's going and the inconveniences and conveniences for the future.
Well, we are so pleased that this project is moving forward. As you know, it began in 1988, the permitting process, and it's taken us a long time to actually get to the point where I can't quite say turning dirt, because what we're doing is bringing in trainloads of dirt. We actually built special rail lines to pull the dirt in to reduce the amount of truck traffic. But we are spending about $1 million a day out at Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood International Airport. There are so many people put to work and jobs that are being created, and jobs that will continue to be created as the airport continues to move, not just to the expansion of the runway, but the remodeling of the interior and reconfiguration of some of the terminals. So there's a little bit of inconvenience right now. Right now there is a giant, I call it our giant dirt pile, that's been climbing ever higher. When it's complete, it will be about 60 feet at its eastern slope. But some have thought that that means you're going to have a giant ramp that's just going to arc up into the air and fling the planes off the end of it. And, of course, that's not what's happening. The western end is also elevated, so the incline is much more gradual. But we're really excited about the opportunities that are happening out there. And so far, we are completely on schedule and on budget.
And it may be one of the reasons why Broward County's unemployment rate is so low. Really, you know, we talk about the bad times and the high rates, but now looking at this rate at 5.7%, I guess was the last reading we got. That is amazingly low. What do you give credit to the fact that the unemployment rate has dropped so much in your county?
Well, a couple of things. First, Broward County's millage rate we have not increased it except for one point for debt was for 12 years. So we have a very, very low millage rate and have been very conservative in our budgeting. So as Broward County started going into the downturn of the economy, we started pulling back and becoming very conservative, which positioned us very well. As the economy started to come out, we're able to come up with it and have one of the highest bond ratings in the state at AAA by two of the bond rating agencies. So we're able to borrow money that is cheaper, saves us money, and we're able to move these projects forward. So, for example, the projects we just talked about with the airport are huge and putting so many people to work, but that's not the only one. We have huge projects going on at our seaport as well, with the rail yard, the intermodal container facility that is now going forward that will take cargo directly off the ships, because we're so fortunate to have a rail line right near our port. It will basically take those cargo boxes off of the ship, put them on a train, and whisk them out of the county, which again will reduce the truck traffic on I-95, as well as many other projects that the county's engaged in. So I think we've been working very hard and very conservatively for a while. And I think in general, Broward County businesses have benefited from a variety of local governments that took that same conservative approach with their budgeting and positioned us very well for addressing not only the challenges that we had several years ago, but being placed very well to come out of the downturn.
Broward County Mayor Kristen Jacobs. Kristen, thanks very much for your time. Always good to talk to you.
You're so welcome, Phil. A joy as usual.